When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the show to be joined by the great Scott Sattler.
One of the faves.
Hey, Missile. Hey, Bish. How are you?
We're on fire today.
Now, Sats, three games yesterday, which was just rugby league heaven for us fans. Mm. Which of the games stood out to you?
Probably, it's pretty easy to say the way the Roosters played. When they're in that mood, they're like, on paper, they're the most difficult team to beat in the comp. But I've got to say, I just love watching Melbourne play. I love when their big four players are at the top of their game. But you know what? I love watching Melbourne when Nelson's back playing with them, because I think he's the missing link. If he plays well, he's the reason why they finish in the top four and have a real tilt at the title. So out of the pick of the games, I've got to say, Warriors were disappointing. Well done to the Titans to be able to hold on defensively. Really impressive. But just the Melbourne Storm, the way they dismantled them was pretty impressive.
Sats, I'm with you with the Storm. It was sensational. Jerome Hughes, Cam Munster, as you say, Big Nelson. But let's just go back a little bit. Sam Walker, 21-year-old, the Roosters. The scene set for a thriller next start, obviously against the Broncos. But what a kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid. I remember watching him in schoolboys. He went to Ipswich Grammar playing rugby union, played Australian schoolboys. As well. I remember commentating a game back when he was in year 12 at Australian schoolboys versus the junior Kiwis, and he was the halfback. Hammer So Tabuifido was the centre. Brendan Piacura was the back row, and Reece Walsh was the fullback. And you look at all these players, they were outstanding. They were so good. Yeah, they were so good. There's this little skinny halfback that was built like Dally Cherry Evans as a kid that was the one that stood out from everyone, and it hasn't surprised me. I just love the unique way that he plays the game. I mean, he would be really good to coach, but really difficult to coach also, because you don't want him to lose that Cameron Munster style where they just play what they see and they want to kick on the second or third, covering a lot of the Queensland Cup over the years, I was calling the games when Ipswich went through and won the national title. And you heard Joey talk about it yesterday. That's exactly the way that Ipswich used to play. It's the way that he's been taught how to play. And it's refreshing to see, isn't it? He's not so sanitised.
Last week, the Roosters were dreadful in attack. This week, they were amazing. Mm. What were the nuances that they changed that allowed them to score all those points?
Yeah, I don't think it was anything they did with their attack. I thought it was more with their contact and defence. They were far more physical. And I think the Roosters are one of those sides where when it's a big occasion, there's a big crowd and they're the centre of attention, I think that's when they play their best footy. If they're playing just one of the suburban grounds on a Saturday afternoon at 5:30, sometimes they don't turn up. So, that platform was set for them yesterday. But I thought the difference was just physicality-wise. They ripped into the Dragons in their contact defensively. And when you do that, when you're really confident in your defence, everything else with the attack just sticks. Everything else just comes. And I think when Teddy's on the front foot as well, it makes them grow another cog. Teddy was back to his scheming best and, pushing through the middle of the field looking for opportunities.
Connor Watson, very busy too.
Who's that, Connor?
Connor Watson, real busy as well.
Yeah, he was. He plays that perfect utility role, doesn't he? Like when Victor was out, I thought, this might bring them back a cog or two. But then you throw Connor in there, who probably plays with a lot more energy and just asks a lot of questions. So, you'd tell they were running downhill very early yesterday.
Just one moment from that game that caught my attention, Sats. I don't know if you noticed as well, Michelle, that the kickoff where Moses Sully got stuck between two of his own players and knocked out. There's been a lot of chat about this. I think you've been following this story as well, Michelle.
Yeah, look, I have to tell you, Sats, this is a real concern. And I'm an absolute rugby league purist, but I think we have to get creative. We've got to look at it. So last night on my way home, after the run home, was having a bit of a chat on the way home in the car to some of my girlfriends. And the biggest thing is a lot of my girlfriends are having children now, or I've got kids around that 4 to 5 age mark. The text messages that were floating around last night were, my son is never touching a rugby league ball. He is never playing rugby league. Did you see Sully? I'm not having that. That's not for my kid. And this is the real, we've got to realise this is a huge problem for the game moving forward. And look, I have to say, I've been in and around it forever and ever and ever. And it made me sick yesterday.
Yeah, you never want to see a player laying on the ground like that, stiff as a board with their eyes open as well. It's horrible. But I'm going to look at it in two ways here. Firstly, the game have themselves to blame for this because they allowed the tackle technique to be taken out of the game, whereas we've allowed defensive coaches at clubs to tackle up around the ball, and which puts your head up around the head of the person running the ball, puts your head up around the person that's going to put a bumper bar up like a forearm to protect themselves. And you look at that still shot from yesterday, there's not one player even attempted to bend their back and cut Jared Warrior-Hargraves in half. Now, if you're a big man running the ball up, I can tell you firsthand, I'm not a big man, but you talk to any of the big players, when you're running the ball up and Jake Dubojevic just cuts you in half, there's nothing more that puts your pride back another three steps than when a smaller player just cuts you in half. So when you look at the still shot, that's what disappointed me the most, that all three players who have been taught to tackle up around the ball and puts themselves in danger. And I'm saying to all the mums out there, you know, when your kids grow up playing rugby league and they get to the level of playing NRL, you know, they're courageous enough to go into those contacts and they know what they're going in for. But there's also a technique about it, and we've taken it out of the game, and we've got to get it in quicker as possible, because we are going to see a lot more of these head clashes, forearm on head, clashing with your own teammates. And so as a game, we have to talk about rewarding the person that's got really good contact. And Jake Dubojevic is one of the players that gets penalised the most when it comes to six agains, because he cuts people down around the waist, he slides down around their legs. Referee says, let go of the legs, Jake. He lets go. He's out of the play. He can't get back to marker. What's the use? So why not tackle up around the ball? So the other thing is, I think we've got to be prepared for a change to the kickoff, whether we like it or not. I'm one of the greatest traditionalists.
How dramatic a change?
I don't think we'll see as a dramatic a change, but I think they'll endorse the shorter kickoff, like have the short dropout, which sort of in two folds allows the team to get the ball back, but also puts the opposition side that's receiving the ball, puts them in a better attacking position straight away rather than coming off their try line. The other thing I've heard floated around just in circles that I'm talking about with my mates is, why don't you have to, it's a little bit under nines, under tens like, but what about you receive the kickoff? It's got to be two passes. You got to go like pass to a guy that's closer to the middle of the field.
I don't mind that.
Who hits it onto another guy who's going to be running onto the ball, but the impact is going to be shorter. So by the time he gets the ball, the defense are going to be 10 metres away rather than a 40-metre runner.
Yeah. I was even thinking something about how many people in the tackle off a kickoff, because the worst ones I've seen probably in the past month have been the poor bastard that gets jammed in between his own two players with his hands stuck by his side. Moses Sully couldn't even get his hands up to protect it. He literally got squeezed by his own two players before the contact. It was quite bizarre. It's almost a duty of care from your own teammates to jam you in between the two players.
Well, I'll tell you what, the tourists thought I had concussion myself this morning when I suggested something like, I was desperate. Like, I don't care what it is, an AFL type, you know, pop it up in the air and go for it.
I don't know, anything.
We need something. But that's how desperate I am and how much I love this game. And, you know, we want to see it flourish. We want to see it continue. But dead set, I said it earlier in the program, I think we lost 100 junior registrations in January, February next year, seeing Sully fall the way he did. It was sickening.
Doesn't look good, but then we turn the TV on and watch it again tonight, don't we? Yeah, so
we've got to try and find
something in between. We can't go completely left. We can't go completely right. We've got to find something in between that still has a little bit of that collision. One, technique's got to be improved first and foremost, and but somewhere in the middle, I don't mind the two passes, because it actually forces the team to start attacking off the kickoff. I don't mind it actually.
Just one piece for both of you guys. You got kids, Sats?
Yeah, I've got a 26-year-old and a 22-year-old.
Probably past the point now, but I don't have kids yet, but so for my mum,
I'm a grandma.
My mum said to me, I wasn't allowed to play rugby league when I was little, but as she said, you can choose whatever sport you want. I think when you were 10 or 11, whatever it was. So as soon as I played soccer when I was little, and as soon as I turned 10, I chose to play rugby league because I watched it on TV and I loved it. And as a kid, wasn't interpreting, you know, head highs, punch-ons, all that back in those days.
Yep.
If your kid comes to you, and I think about this for me in the future, if my kid came to me when he was 13 years of age and said, "Dad, I really want to get into MMA. I'm passionate about it and I want to train and I want to do all that stuff." As a parent, I don't feel like I have the right to stop my kid doing... pursuing their passion.
I did, but I'm just, you know, the bitch from hell in my household. It didn't happen.
As in rugby league?
No, as in this nonsense fighting in the ring. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, they wanted to do MMA.
You know what I did? No, this is the 15-year-old, so he doesn't play rugby league.
The one that walked in on you and
no,
Justin?
No, that's another one. No, this is the one. You have to go there. You just can't help it, can you? But anyway, moving right along. We're keeping the program clean today, but I am going to ask you about your MC Hammer Pants. He wanted to do that, and I was late a couple of times. Oh, look, we've missed the session, but that got tired and you got sort of up to date with what I was doing there. I don't like it. I love boxing, which is weird, but, you know, only to a certain point. I said, if you want to do boxing, but I just can't stand the other stuff. I just think it's
My dad didn't let me play rugby league because he thought it was too rough. And funnily enough, he was one of the hardest men to play the game. But at the age of 10, he said to me, "You're going to box." So he took me down to the gym and just made me box from the age of 10. It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
It was more about protecting yourself, wasn't it, Seth?
Yeah. And then when I went to him at the age of 11 and said, "Dad, can you put some lino on the ground? Because me and my mates want to practice breakdancing." He said, "There's no breakdancing in this house. If you ever breakdance, you're not a satellite."
So can we, just before we let you go on that, I need to know a little bit more about it. I heard you talking about it on air the other day, the MC Hammer Pants. What did you have, Electro Beat or something? What were we in lightness?
No. So, yeah, we had a breakdancing group on the Gold Coast called Electo Beat. Because when we got our shirts made up, it was supposed to be Electro Beat, but the guy left the R off, so we were Electo Beat.
You went to a dodgy joint.
And so when we were about 12 or 13, we used to take our ghetto blaster and our lino into Surface Mall, and that's where all the breakdancing groups would show up and battle each other. And then, so we had the MC Hammer pants, the Reebok basketball boots.
You actually have a shirt on, or was it cool to show
that? No, it was a shirt with the sleeves cut off. And the best breakdancing group in Queensland were a group called the Smurfs. So whenever the Smurfs turned up, everyone just bailed out because they were just way too good.
What a pussy name. Well, Sats, I did hear you sort of give us a few little lines. Do you want to give us a few now? Come on.
Well, one of my favourite songs is from the great breakdancing movie called Beat Street. So it's Beat Street, the king of the beat. I see you rocking that beat from across the street.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful. Love it.
So it's footy the Savo. We got Manly and Parramatta.
Yeah.
Parramatta in a bit of trouble here if they lose another one. Brad Arthur starting to come under pressure. How do they bail themselves out of this?
Oh, they just got to win. Yeah, it doesn't matter how they win. They just got to win. I mean, I think Parramatta fans are probably – yeah, there are some teams, a little bit like the Gold Coast Titans at the start of the year. Their fans just wanted them to, if they lost but they went down fighting, they're happy to accept that to a degree for the start of the season. Now they obviously had their first win on the weekend. I think Parramatta fans, they're past that, you know, because they've had some success in the past where they finished in top four, they played in the grand final. They just don't accept a team turning up and just having a dig now. And quite frankly, you know, they need to be better than what they have been, especially after appearing in that grand final. I've always felt as though that they've become a real psychologically fragile side. And when a team puts them under the wand a little bit, puts a little bit of fire in their face, I think they wilt through a little bit. And that's not what you want to be known as a rugby league side. So, this Manly side on their day are going to be really difficult to beat. And so what Parramatta have to do is not worry about scoring 25, 20, 30 points. And I think sometimes they think that. They think we've got to score 30 points to win the game. Worry about winning the games by two or four, you know, like 14, 12, and just roll the sleeves up, get in the trenches, stand side by side together. And and you know, stand up for what your values are in that logo. That's the most important thing. That logo on your chest and what it stands for, and the great levels of support you've had over so many years. That's what you got to be fighting for tonight against a really good side. If they don't, well, it's a little bit like South. I think, you know, we might start seeing a fair bit of movement in the footy department.
So that's very interesting that you brought that up, because I don't blame Brad Arthur entirely. I don't think this can all be sort of put on him. I feel like there's been a little bit of, I don't know whether it's cultural issues or just something dysfunctional behind the scenes about Parramatta. I speak to a lot of Parramatta fans and they think, oh, you just don't like Parramatta. I love that club. I brought up in that area. I just think that there's always just been something amiss. They've had really strong rosters, obviously missed that window frame when they had the likes of Reid Marnie and all the rest of it. But you can't be blaming sort of no Mitchell Moses at the moment. But Brad Arthur was interesting watching the last couple of weeks. He took sort of 2 weeks to come out and just lay it all on the line for the players to say, you know, I've got part-time players here, like to literally rip in. He's been sticking by his players like really, really solid for quite some time. You know, as I say, Regan Campbell-Gillard, your junior polos, he's got a good roster, and some of those players have been putting in. I can't put my finger on what the actual problem is.
Well, you know, I love last week, and sometimes when the coach continually takes all the heat off the playing group, it gives them excuse to sit back and feel comfortable. Ah, it's all right. The coach has got us. We love him. We love it. The coach will always get our back, and that puts you in a really comfortable position psychologically as a side. I've been there when the coach – I remember when Roy Simmons used to do it. He used to put the flak jacket on and just cop all the bullets on behalf of the team. But it wasn't until he came – and John Lang did it to us as well. He came out to us one game after we got beaten by Melbourne in round 2 of 2003. We got beaten by 40. And he said, that's it. I can't protect you anymore. He walked in the dressing shed and he said, hey, guys, everyone to a T needs to look at themselves over the next 24 hours and realise whether they really want to be a first-grade rugby league player. Because at the moment, next week against the Roosters, the Premiers, every one of you, even the captain, Craig Gower, you're playing for your position. And straight away it put us on notice. We come out the following week and beat the Roosters 23-22. I like how Brad Arthur came out last week and just said, no more excuses. Either we change as a footy team or we're going to die on the vine. So I like how he's put the pressure back on the players. Now it's just up to them. It's up to them to respond now. There's no more excuses anymore when the coach comes out and basically puts a spotlight on the playing group.
Can I grab a tip from you before you go, Sats?
I'm going to take Manly.
13 plus.
No, I don't think it'll be 13 plus. I think it'll be a little bit closer, but I just think they've got a little bit too much class.
Beautiful. All right, love your work, Sats. You'll be back tomorrow with Crunch Time, where we can catch you here on SEN 1170 AM.
Okay, see you guys.